Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today. And God, even this morning as we worshiped you as a sacrifice of praise to you, Lord. And I pray that this preaching would be a sacrifice of praise as well to you, Lord. I ask for your Holy Spirit to fill me afresh and anoint me to bring forth your word. God, I pray for the hearts of all the hearers that you would plant your seed, Lord, and cause fruit to grow because of it. Lord, I ask that you would do a mighty work today in the preaching of your word, as you not only give us your word, but would you transform us by it, that we might live differently because of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give everybody a quick update. First of all, I saw all of you people that were smiling or laughing as I was coming up here. I'm not in any kind of pain. Surgery was August 10th. I had pain for about 5 days. I'm fine. I go back to the physical therapist tomorrow. They're probably going to get rid of one crutch, and the week after the second one. I have no idea how long I'll be in the boot. So those are most of the questions I answered this morning, so now you all know everything that everyone else knows. We're continuing on with Hebrews, and probably next Sunday will be the last of our Hebrews study. You know, one of the things as we're looking at the book of Hebrews, we're seeing that the main focus is that Jesus is better. Jesus is supreme over all things. And it's important to understand who this book was written to. It was written to a group of believers that were Jewish believers. And they had come out of Judaism. And now they were facing persecution and possibly rejection out of all the things that were related to their faith. So they were facing some pretty tough stuff. And as we went through the book of Hebrews, we noticed that the author of Hebrews, who we're not sure who it is exactly, was addressing all the issues that a person coming out of Judaism would feel is important. And he's addressing them saying, Jesus is greater. It starts out with Jesus is greater than the angels, because that was a belief back then that angels were so all-powerful. And then he goes on and he says that, you know what, Jesus is greater than the founder of your Judaism, Abraham. He's greater than Moses. And he goes on and on, and he gets to the place where he says, and Jesus is the greatest high priest, because they had the old covenant, and the high priest was the top priest. And he's saying, Jesus is the perfect high priest. And he goes on and he talks about the sacrifices that were offered, in particular the sacrifice for the atonement of the nation of Israel. And he says, you know what, Jesus' sacrifice was superior. Okay, so he's laying all this ground, and now we come to this section, and we've established that Jesus is our sinless, eternal high priest, okay, and that he offered himself as the perfect atoning sacrifice once for all. Now the old covenant sacrifices would be done away with because Jesus fulfilled them all. No reason to bring cattle or doves or whatever to be sacrificed. So that is finished. But he's speaking to these Jewish people, and it's almost like the writer is saying right here, but with the new covenant, there's another type of sacrifice. It's really exciting. And he's presenting it here in these two verses and other places in the New Testament. He's saying, you know what? There are new covenant sacrifices, but they're not to gain forgiveness. Because you already have it. These sacrifices are out of gratitude because you have been forgiven. These are sacrifices in response to this beautiful gift of salvation. And so he's presenting it here. And what we see is this, is that he's talking about the fact that there are these grateful sacrifices, living sacrifices in some places where it's written, there are grateful sacrifices of praise and good deeds and generosity that are done through Christ that please God. That please God. And that's what he's saying to this group of Jewish believers. Now look at this. Now instead of bringing animals and having them slaughtered, you have a living sacrifice that you can offer to your great God. What we find here is that everything that a Christian has, everything that a Christian does, all of it comes through Christ and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. All of that, no matter what it is, it's Jesus working in and through us. And even in these sacrifices that he's talking about, it's Christ doing a work in us. It's through Christ. There's no other mediator. All the promises that were purchased on the cross by Christ, we knew that we were not good enough. Just so everybody is sure of the gospel, there was nothing we could do. We were sinners separated from God. And the penalty for sinning against God was separation from him for all eternity, because we have sinned. We committed crimes against God. And you can't just say, well, God, I had a couple of bad days. The sin had to be paid for. And because of that, we were all going to be separated from God and spend eternity in hell, separated from him, if that's where the story ended. But God, in his incredible love, sent his son, Christ. Jesus came and did what we couldn't do. He lived the perfect life without sin. That was what was required to spend eternity in heaven with God. We couldn't do it. Jesus did it for us. And then he went to the cross, and the punishment that all Christians deserved was poured out on Christ. He paid for it for us. And because of that, now the Father says, you know what? When I look at you as a believer, I see Christ's righteousness, because I poured out my wrath for your sin on Jesus. So your sin was paid for, but now I view you differently. And what happened is that purchase of Christ on the cross bought our salvation. It bought all the promises that come with salvation, eternal life, sanctification, all the things that come with salvation. So everything that we have or we ever will have or do comes through the cross, comes through Jesus. And Jesus is our intercessor, it says. When we present things to the Father, Jesus is the one as our high priest still presenting it. It's just a beautiful picture of what Christ is doing for us. And what we see is that Jesus is the one through whom all of what we have comes through. Take a look at God's word. It starts in the verse that we read. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no one else. There's not a pope. There's not a priest. There's not a saint, no one. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. That him is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all he is the one who purchased all the promises for us, all the blessings that we have. Jesus is the one. That's why it says here in 13:15 that it is through Christ, through him, then let us offer these sacrifices, these beautiful sacrifices. So, why should we do that? And how do we do it? It is because of who God is and what he has done for all Christians in Christ, that we should continually bring a sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. That's our sacrifice. That's our offering, if you will. When I was a new believer, I used to go to a church out in Virginia Beach. And it was Rock Church. There were about 5,000 people there. And we used to sing this chorus. And it was, we will bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Remember that? We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And then to repeat it again, we bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you sacrifices of praise. I went online. I thought there had to be more to the song. There wasn't. That was it. I thought, boy, okay. I love that song because as the worship team was playing, okay, they're just dancing because this is a joyful song. We're offering a sacrifice of praise. I love that song. But sometimes I think we believe that praise happens on Sunday morning. But you see, the word here is continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. It's not just Sunday morning. It's throughout our life. Everything that we say and do should be saturated with praise to God. And that's the picture that we're seeing here. That's why it has to come through Christ. It has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because in our own flesh, we can't do this. It's very similar to what, remember where it says that we should pray without ceasing? How can you do that? It's more this idea of, you know what, I want to be in that sense of in the presence of God and lifting up prayer throughout the day. And the same idea is here. Continually offer up sacrifices of praise. And it says this, it's the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. That's key. What about this fruit of the lips that acknowledges his name? It's talking about verbally proclaiming, verbally saying, verbally praising him. And that can be done in a couple of ways. I think one of the ways that it's clearly talking about here is that we openly share the gospel. That's how we proclaim the greatness of God. That's how we praise God. When we share the gospel, it honors God. It pleases him, as it says at the end of these two verses. So one of the ways that we offer fruit of our lips to acknowledge the name of God is to share the gospel with people, to present it and talk about to others how great our God is, how wonderful he is. We bring those things to him. We talk about who God is and what he has done for us and will do for us in Christ. You know, when I say something as simple as, you know, I go around and people say, how are you doing today? And I'll say, I'm doing better than I deserve. And they say, well, what do you mean? I say, because if God gave me what I deserved, I'd be in trouble, but he doesn't. He has this grace and this mercy that he extends for me. You know what? I want that to be a sacrifice of praise. I want to proclaim that my God is good. My God is good. And he is doing these things for me. He is such a great God. He's such a wonderful Savior. It's a fruit of our lips. So we talk about our God. We talk about how great he is, how good he is. We proclaim that. Sometimes it's just proclaiming it to ourselves, right? When we're singing worship songs, things like that. And what we do is that we want to acknowledge his name. That term, acknowledge his name, is important to understand. Because what it's talking about is it's talking about who God is. When we acknowledge his name, we are talking about, we are agreeing with the word of God at what it says God is like, all of his attributes. When we worship God, we say, you know what, I'm agreeing with your word. That's why, if you remember, when we started out our year of prayer, we focused on something. We said, this is going to be, it's going to be scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer. And we always said that when we start our prayer time, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to shift it, and we're going to start our prayer time with worship. We're going to take the word of God, whatever psalm it is, and we're going to read through that, and we're going to find ways, look for the attributes of God, the greatness of God, and we're just going to worship him with that. That's how we're going to start out our prayer. We're acknowledging his name. We're saying, you know what, God, you are creator of all things. You are eternal, and we pray those things because they're the attributes of God. They're the fruit of our lips. And we're proclaiming, we're praising God. We do it through psalms that we may sing. That's how we proclaim the goodness of God, the fruit of our lips, a living sacrifice. When we acknowledge his name, one of the ways that we can do that is by submitting to God's word. In other words, walking in obedience to God. You know, when we look at the word of God, we want to offer up a sacrifice of praise. We want to walk in obedience to God's word. That pleases God when we walk in obedience. And when we continually lay aside our own desires, say, you know what, God, this is what my flesh wants to do, but this is what I know you're calling me to do. So I'm going to put my desires aside. All those things are these beautiful sacrifices of praise to God. They please him. They honor him. They glorify him. And we don't think of that because so many times we think of when we offer a sacrifice of praise, it's Sunday morning during the time when we sing. It's so much bigger than that. So how can we grow in this area of sacrifice of praise as part of the fruit of our lips? Well, how about getting to know God better through his word? if we're going to proclaim, acknowledge God's name as part of the fruit of our lips, then we need to know greater and greater who he is. So get into the word. That's why quiet times are so important, regular quiet times, to get into the word and read it and find out, see the picture of the greatness and the beauty of our God. And we see that, and we start memorizing scripture, and we see it, and before you know it, your understanding of who God is grows, it expands, and what happens then is that revolutionizes our prayer life. We start praising him for who he is. We acknowledge the greatness of our God. And when you start that way in your prayer life, when you start with this sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, acknowledging who God is, then when we get to these requests, we're kind of all pumped up because, man, this is my God. I mean, he's creator of all things. He was there and will be there for eternity. And he spoke and everything was brought into being. This is my God, my friend, my Savior. Wow, Lord, you know, there's a situation I need to help with. See, our faith grows because we see who our God is, his greatness and his goodness. And then when we pray with greater faith, not because we're just trying to jack up a feeling or an emotion, but because we see the greatness and goodness of our God. And then it permeates the day as we struggle with things that are happening in the world around us or in our personal lives. We remember the greatness of our God. And we come and we say, Lord, I know this is overwhelming me, but I know you're greater. So I trust in you, Lord. Fruit of our lips that acknowledge the name of God. It's pleasing to God. And what happens as we study the word of God, as we start understanding and worshiping God for who he is, what happens is it's kind of like an overflowing cup. Okay, you got a cup that's full of water, and you keep dumping more water into it. It just keeps overflowing. And as we understand who our God is, and we proclaim those things, and in our hearts proclaim them, and verbally proclaim them, then it's just like an overflowing cup. It just keeps coming forward because we're so captivated, we're so filled with God's greatness and goodness that it's always overspilling. It's always affecting our lives. It's affecting how we're thinking. It's affecting how we're speaking. It hopefully will affect what we do. And so now the goodness and greatness of our God, we're offering a sacrifice of praise as we think of his goodness and greatness, and we want to proclaim that, and we want to live in a way that honors our God and pleases him. What it does is it spills over into heartfelt verbal praises and this joyful obedience. Sacrifice of praise. Take a look at God's word again. Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. See, that's why we want to delight in God. That's why we want to get into the word and we want to meditate on who our God is. And we see his greatness and we see his goodness and his promises fulfilled in Christ. And we see who we are in Christ. And what happens is it just our hearts are filled. Our hearts are filled, and what happens is it's got to overflow because that's what the word of God says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we delight in God, as we treasure him, as we study the word and we get a bigger and greater picture of our God, then what happens is our cup overflows. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. And our mouth will speak and acknowledge the name of our God. See, so it starts here. Delighting in Christ, treasuring Christ, seeing his goodness and his greatness. And it affects how we live, what we say, what we think. I found these beautiful quotes. C.S. Lewis said this, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment." Wow. George Mueller said this, "The business of every day is first of all to seek to be truly at rest and happy in God." Get up in the morning. Say, "Lord, today is the day you have made. Let me rejoice in it and be glad. Lord, it's in your hands." And when you lay your head down on the pillow, say, "Lord, today is the day that you have made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it, even as I sleep. Thank you, Lord, for today." And then finally, Spurgeon, "I will cry to him evening and morning and noon, and I will cry to no one else, for he is all sufficient. How he will save me, I cannot guess, but he will do it, I know." You say, why is that last one in there, Dan? It's because of this. I think it's fairly easy to praise God when things are going well. Life is good. But I know for a fact that many of us today are struggling with things, hard things in life. It might be personal. It might just be looking at the world around you and walking in anxiety or fear. And so to offer a praise, that's tough. That's hard. But I want you to know that it is especially pleasing to God when we're in difficult places like Job was, and we offer up sacrifices of praise with our lips. When we proclaim God's greatness. When we say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. I trust you because you are. And we start proclaiming who God is. I love Casting Crowns. I don't know if any of you enjoy that band. But one of my favorite songs is I Will Praise Him in This Storm. It's just beautiful because it's talking about life is rough, man, right now. But I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. And you see how pleasing that is to God? Because in the flesh, we want to look at these things and let them overwhelm us and consume us. Yet the Word of God says that we should continually offer a sacrifice of praise that acknowledges His name, even in the midst of those hard times. And I think it's in the midst of those difficult times that we're faced with that we desperately need the grace of God to even do that. But what a joy for our God when He hears us in the difficult storm proclaiming, "Great are you, Lord. I trust in you, Jesus. I trust in you." When life is coming apart and there's chaos and fear and Jesus seems far away, say, you know what? By faith, God, I trust. I believe your word. I believe your word. And that's not ignoring the situation. Some people say, well, you're not dealing with life realistically. Or that's just positive thinking. You're trying to change everything you're positive thinking. No, that's not. It's not. What it's saying is, Jesus, you're sufficient for me. You're all sufficient for me. You're my treasure. And all these other things, they're difficult. But I trust in you. You're my joy. Not these circumstances, not anything else. You are my joy. You're my peace. You're my King and my Lord and my Savior and my friend. So it's not ignoring those things. So we praise God. We praise God. We thank Him for His attributes. Lord, you are eternal. Lord, you're unchangeable, God. Lord, you are truth. Your word says you are truth. And you start proclaiming the attributes of God. We praise Him for what I'm going to call His common grace. I thank you, God, that today your sun will shine on me. God, that you have given me this next breath. When was the last time you thanked God that you could see? Wow. I saw a video yesterday or the day before of a blind young boy walked up in the middle of the stage in his church and he was singing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Wow. When was the last time we just thanked God, praised Him, offered Him the sacrifice of praise for the common grace that He gives us? The ability to see and to smell and to hear. The little things. And we can offer up a sacrifice of praise that also praises Him for His blessings through Christ. Lord, I want to thank you that, Lord, before all eternity, you chose me. Oh, God. Lord, I thank you for your unconditional love for me. Wow. You know, when I was laid up, a gentleman was talking about unconditional love, and I never thought about it this way. He said, we base our love towards others on past experiences. In other words, we love someone because of what they did or didn't do. And he said, even when it comes to your family, you love them because they're part of your family, right? And he said, so in essence, our love is really based on past actions that people have done, and they should be positive. And he said, do you realize that before anything was created, God knew you, and He knew how you were going to reject Him. He knew that even after you were saved, you were going to rebel against Him in your heart, and He still loved you. He said, that's unconditional love. I went, wow, because I always looked at it as unconditional love as when I sin, He'll still love me. He loved me knowing far an eternity that I was going to do this. And he still loves me. That's incredible. That's unconditional love. So we praise God for his attributes. We praise him for his common grace. We praise him for the blessings of our salvation. It goes on and on and on. It's a sacrifice of praise that we can give to our God. We please God by a life that continually spills over in verbal, heartfelt praise towards God, and gives us another hint here of a new covenant sacrifice that we can make by practically loving others. Take a look at God's word again. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Sacrifices, the prior one and these two. And in Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And finally in Hebrews 22:37-39. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was Jesus speaking. You see how again we find in the Word of God that God ties in loving him and loving others together? It's right here in Hebrews. It starts out with what? How do we offer a sacrifice of praise to God? With our lips, proclaiming who he is, and by loving others. It's amazing. God's word is amazing. We stand in awe. Good deeds and generosity towards others are living sacrifices of praise to God that please him. That's what it says in Hebrews 13:16. Now, the responsibility is primarily to believers, but it doesn't end there. It goes beyond. It's not limited to believers. This term, do good, is a general term for all kinds of practical ministry to others. All kinds of practical ministries. In other words, it's acts of kindness to people is a sacrifice of praise. People have helped me. I can't do things. Somebody comes over and cuts my grass. It's a sacrifice of praise, man. They're just offering it to God. I can't do it. So they have an act of kindness towards me in doing that. Sacrifice of praise. Acts of kindness towards someone. Tom Cumbier in the hospital, he's going to come home this week. He's going to need help. Acts of kindness to help him. Sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. Serving others. Sacrifice of praise. You know, so many times we want to be the one being served. How about we flip the tables? We say, you know what, God, I want to serve. Help with the meal or usher or Sunday school teacher or whatever. But I'm going to serve, Lord. I want to offer this as a sacrifice of praise to you. Worthy are you, Lord. And that pleases God. We offer emotional and spiritual support. Is doing good. Doing good. Sometimes we can't be there, but we can still do good. And I'll give you an example. Our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan are running for their lives right now. I can't do anything. I can't be there. But I can pray. I can pray. I can lift them up before the Lord. And here's the tough part. Not only them, but the people that are persecuting them. I can do that. I can do good deeds in that sense that I can pray for them. Let's pray for them right now. Let's do that. Lord, we come before you. We thank you that you are sovereign God, that you have a plan in all things, even difficult things. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters right now in Afghanistan. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen their faith, that whatever is happening, Lord God, that you would empower them to walk by faith. Lord, I pray that you would help the fathers of the families be strong and be a godly leader. And Lord, I pray that you would glorify your name even in the difficult things. Lord, if you save them, we rejoice. If you bring them home, we rejoice, but we trust you. And Lord, we pray for those who are persecuting them. God, that you would please, Lord, turn their hearts to you, God, that even in the midst of their persecution, as they are harming these Christians, that the gospel would go forth, that you would use those things to soften their hearts and draw them to yourself, Lord Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Fruit of our lips. We do good deeds. That word share here, do not neglect to do good and share. That word is koinonia. Did you know that? Koinonia. And koinonia is translated fellowship, sharing, participation, contribution. That's koinonia. That's what he's talking about. He's talking here about sharing with those in need. It's benevolent giving. Giving to people who are in need. Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, this though, if a man does not work, he should not eat. Not talking about laziness here. Okay, sometimes the best thing we can do for somebody who's too lazy to work is let them go hungry. That's what you need to do. That's not loving, Dan. It's scriptural. If a man does not work, he does not eat. We're talking about people here. The Word of God is talking about people here who are needy. For whatever reason, they can't work, or they're doing the best that they can and they're falling short. And that's where we step in as believers, and that benevolent giving, helping those in need. Giving them a hand up, not a hand out. Helping them, supporting them with encouragement, prayer, sometimes financially, whatever it is. But that's what it's talking about here. And it says this, that's an offering, that's a sacrifice of praise to God that pleases him. Would you have ever put those two together? You know, when there's a need that comes before you and you say, you know, I've got $5, I can give it to this person. Have you ever think of that? That was a sacrifice of praise that was pleasing to God? I didn't. I just thought, well, you know, that's what Christians do, right? It's a sacrifice of praise. It's a grateful response to the goodness of God in your life. It's acknowledging that I really don't own anything. I'm just a steward of all this. It's really God's. And you know what, Lord? If that's what you want me to do with it, I'll do it. That's what I'll do. It's yours. And we trust God. Our hope is in him. And it honors God when we're generous to others that are in need. Sacrifice of praise is what's being talked about here. And God desires that every sacrifice is costly to the one offering. You go back to the Old Testament, remember? You didn't bring them the lame cows and the bad sheep or whatever. You brought the best. It was costly to bring an offering to God. And I don't think that's changed. Our sacrifice of praise is going to be costly at times. Take a look at God's word again. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, through Christ, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And in Romans 12:1-3, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I'm going to challenge you this week. I'm going to ask you to pray and ask God how you can present yourself as a living sacrifice to him this week. The sacrifice of praise in both word and deed. And I'm going to ask you to get back to me and let me know how it worked out. Tell me where God did that. We'll spread the joy of Christ and how he's working in our lives. Brothers and sisters, hearts that are satisfied in God will overflow with grateful sacrifices of heartfelt praise, good deeds, and great generosity to the needy. And these new covenant sacrifices presented through Christ, they please God. They please God, they honor him, and they bring him glory. And that's what we want, don't we? That God would be glorified in and through our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you today. You are so worthy. You are so worthy of praise. You are seated in the highest place, Lord Jesus, on the right hand of the Father. God, you are sovereign over all things. God, the things that are coming to us now, you have a purpose in. So we praise you, God. We trust you. We put our hope in you, Lord, because you are all powerful. You are all knowing. You are all present. And I pray, God, that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would take this word and plant it deep in us, Lord. God, that it would honor you as you work in our lives, as we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice that would bring you glory and honor. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.